Sometimes there can seem to be contradictions in the scriptures, including in the Gospels. A case in point could be last Sunday's Gospel reading and today's. You may remember that last Sunday we heard from John's Gospel, when John the Baptist proclaimed, as Jesus was walking by, "Behold the Lamb of God." And Andrew and another disciple, probably John himself, followed Jesus and ended up spending the day with him. Today we hear from Mark's Gospel, when Jesus was passing by the Sea of Galilee and he called Simon and Andrew, then James and John, to follow him. It might seem like these are two conflicting accounts of the disciples' first encounter with Jesus. Was it at the Jordan River or on the shore of the Sea of Galilee? Well, when we spend enough time reading the scriptures and reflecting upon them and employing the help of Bible commentaries to deepen our knowledge, things become clearer. As it turns out, and you may know this already, the account in John's Gospel is the earlier event chronologically. A clue is present in the first sentence of today's Gospel, where Mark says, "After John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God." So Andrew and John had their first encounter with Jesus at the Jordan River. They had the privilege on that occasion of conversing with the Son of God for the better part of a day. We can imagine how inspired they would have been listening to all that Jesus had to say. They must have had an experience similar to that of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, whose hearts were burning within them as Jesus spoke of the things of God and of life. How moved Andrew and John must have been. But afterwards, it seems, they went back to their everyday lives. Our Gospel from Mark today recounts that sometime later, they met Jesus again as they were going about their usual business of fishing. Let me pause here for a moment. I want to look more closely at this time after the disciples' first encounter with Jesus, but before they began to follow him. Sometimes this is where we are in the church, even though we have been called and sent with our reception of the sacraments of initiation. Sometimes we can know quite a bit about Jesus and even have had powerful experiences of his presence and grace in the sacred liturgy, in our personal prayer, and in providential God moments in our daily lives. But it can happen that our relationship with Jesus doesn't always remain the central part of our lives, or either the driving force of all that we try to do, while it should be. Sometimes we can get so attached to the things and the people of this world that Jesus becomes just a part-time friend. God may not always hold the first place in our lives. One of the principles of our Catholic tradition is the notion of detachment from the things and even the relationships of this world. This does not mean that we are emotionally detached from the people who love us, nor yet that we are not involved in trying to make this world a better place for ourselves and others. No, it means simply that we recognize that everything here, as good as it may be, is temporary. And so our fullest devotion and commitment must be to that which is permanent and eternal, that is God and the kingdom of God. As baptized Christians, we are to live in this world, but not to be of this world. St. Paul speaks about this with his usual passion and frankness in our second reading today from his first letter to the Corinthians. He begins by saying, "I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out." Picture in your mind, if you will, an hourglass with the sand steadily draining from the top half to the bottom until it's all gone. This is the reality of each of our individual lives in this world and the world as a whole. Time is not infinite, it is running out. Paul goes on to say, "From now on then, let those having wives act as not having them." Husbands, don't misunderstand this. Paul is making a strong point here that even a relationship as important as between a husband and a wife doesn't have the primacy that our relationship with God has. Spouses and family members are to be loved deeply, yet not with the same absolute love and adoration that we reserve for God. Jesus taught his disciples this directly, as it's recounted in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. He said on that occasion, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." When we love God first and foremost, that's when we can love other people in our lives the way that we really should. Jesus showed us that on the cross, when his love for his Father led him to give his whole life in sacrificial love for us. His earthly detachment enabled greater communion in the end. So let me return to today's gospel. Andrew and John, Simon and James, had already met Jesus at least once. They may have even been thinking about some of the wonderful and strange things he had said while they were casting their nets and mending their nets on the shore of the sea. So when Jesus came walking by and called them personally and specifically, they made a definitive decision. Simon and Andrew, Mark tells us, abandoned their nets, while James and John left their father in the boat and followed Jesus. My brothers and sisters, we are invited by these scripture readings today to seize the moment and make a definitive decision for Jesus and his church in our personal and communal lives. We may still have some hesitations. We may have some lingering doubts. We may still have to loosen our grip on some attachments we have in this life. I believe the disciples were still working on these things too, but they recognized in Jesus on that day the invitation to life in its fullness, and they made a commitment. Simon Peter later asked Jesus directly, "Lord, we have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" And Jesus said to him, "Amen, I say to you, that you who have followed me in the new age, which is the age of the church, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has given up houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life." Jesus is truly here in this sacrament of the Eucharist today, and he's calling each of us personally to commit ourselves again to following him wholeheartedly in this life while there is time, so that we will rejoice with him when time comes to an end. Let us answer his call as we celebrate this Holy Mass.